Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place, and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. Oh, come bless the Lord. Stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord.
Oh yes, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh ye people. O you servants in the house of the Lord, bless his holy name. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You see, what the things that we see in our daily walk, the things that we observe, comes a long way in influencing the success we have as sons of God. Our ability to perceive and to see truth, and only truth, to remain focused on truth, is what will preserve us throughout all eternity. We know the story of the blind man Jesus Christ met, someone who was blind from birth. And Jesus Christ spat on the floor, on the ground, and made mud, clay, and anointed the eyes of this man who was blind, and told the man to go to the pool of Siloam to wash his face. And it is recorded that this man came back saying. He came back saying. Before he was blind, but now he came back seeing. And along with the seeing comes the rejoicing, the freedom, the liberty, and that was the salvation of the Lord revealed to that man there. Today we know that true blindness is spiritual blindness. One's inability to see into the things of God is termed spiritual blindness. The eyesight of man was lost when he started to walk in the light of this age. See, and the reality of the presence of God became hidden from man. The reality of God's word, the reality of my true self, the way I'm known of God, my true self, my true perfect state, all these things became hidden from my sight. Because I became subject to the many, many lies of this age. These things blinded me. Now, if I say I am a sinner, I have, how do I put it, some problems in the flesh. It's simply because I am blind to the reality of my true nature. I am blind to the reality of everything that pertains to God and myself. And all these lies and lies and darkness, you know, if your eyes are closed, if a blind man just, he just gropes in darkness, he does not see. But we know he's the appearing of Christ, or rather the revelation of Christ in us, comes to dispel that darkness so that we can walk free in the liberty that we are called to walk in right from the beginning of the world. This is the will of God, that we walk in that true liberty and glory as God. You can't tell me that God has a sin consciousness. Does God sin? Does God hate? Is God unforgiving? See, is he a pedophile? God is not a pedophile. And we all have that same nature of the Father, no matter what it looks like on the outer. Nothing can change the reality that the nature of the Father is imprinted in us. It's in us. We are the express image of God. Everything that God is the way He is. The Bible says that God is love. We are love. There's no point giving up on your attitude if you failed over and over again. No point. Somebody said he has tired. He's, you know, I have a friend years ago. He said that he has tried everything. He has tried to be good. He has tried to go to church, and you can see he's not good. It won't work. That he has just resigned to his faith. And I told him that there's nothing you have to make to work, because in reality you are already the express image of God. Circumstances in life that we face can never change the way we are. But of course, at times you don't feel happy when you stumble, do you? You don't feel happy when you make a mistake. You don't feel happy when you hurt somebody. You don't feel happy when you lose your temper. So, but we can walk in the reality of our perfection if only we allow the Lord do His work in us. Jesus Christ told the man who was blind, go and what? Wash your face. Go and wash your face. We have to occupy ourselves in what? Washing our face, our eyes, by the streams of Eden, who talks of truth. That river that was called Siloam, if you go and make a research on it, you discover it is one of those streams. So it was an artificial lake that proceeded forth from the one of those streams of Eden. You know, in Eden you had four streams: Pishon, Tigris, Euphrates, and Tigris, I think, yes. That lake, artificial lake of Siloam, actually originated from one of those four streams of Eden. And historically it was used by the Israelites. So you see, going to wash his face at that pool meant going to receive influence, receiving truth, to wash the eyes of his understanding. See, that river that flowed from Eden flowed from the heart of God, which is the flow of the Spirit of God, the essence of God. When you go, when he says go and wash your eyes, you wash your eyes with truth. And this washing dispels everything that has obscured your eyesight, so that you can walk truly free, and free indeed. Praise God. We're going to go deeper now. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 8, the Bible says, a king that sitteth in judgment scattered away all evil with what? His eyes. A king that sitteth in the throne of what? Judgment scattered all evil in his eyes. Now, who are those kings today? So we are the kings. We are the ones seated on that throne in God. So we are the ones to whom judgment of this world has been committed. Paul says, don't you know that we shall judge the world? Don't you know that you judge angels? Don't you know that you are judges? You who walk in Christ. You who walk in the truth. Don't you know that you are the judges of this world? Praise God. Some people are still waiting for somebody to come from the sky to judge. But better believe it that if you walk perfect as he is perfect, walk in the truth as he is the truth, automatically you are already judging the world. So the king that seated in judgment scattered what? Every evil with the eyes. Can you imagine? Can you sit down on a chair and use your eyes to scatter evil? What is he talking about here? It's the eyes of what? Understanding. It's the spiritual eye of what? Understanding. Praise God. Where we come to the place where we open our eyes in truth, where we sit with Christ in heavenly places and we open our eyes in truth, what happens is that everything that is contrary to Christ is annulled, is dissolved. Do you believe that? Anything in us that is contrary to Christ is what? Is annulled and dissolved. And the judgment starts first of all in where? In us. The Bible says that the judgment of God will begin in the house of God. So everything that obscures the reality of that perfection that you are, the Son of God that you are, is dissolved as you begin to ascend that throne. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, from verse 9, Daniel saw thrones that were set in heaven. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, I beheld two thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his hair like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was what was set, and the books were what opened. And behold, I beheld even till the what the beast was slain, and his what body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Praise God. Let's stop here. So we see here that Daniel, many years even before the coming of Christ, saw the great judgment of God. See, this is what people call the white throne judgment. White throne judgment, you see it in the book of Revelation chapter 20. First of all, the six thrones. Thrones that were set. See how he says he saw thrones that were set. After which he saw what? He saw the Alpha and the Omega seated. Now which are these thrones that are set? Who occupies these thrones that are set? It's you and I who follow on to know the truth. We are the ones seated on those thrones. You see, and when we sit on that throne, that is how the Ancient of Days appears. He appears through us. You see how God, the Spirit of God, orders these things? The thrones are seated, and those who attain to what is called the first resurrection, we're going to look at that now, and the ones who are seated on that, on those thrones that Daniel saw, and they are the ones in reality that manifest the Ancient of Days to the creation. Have you heard of the white throne judgment? That's what the Bible calls the white throne judgment in the book of Revelation chapter 20. A big white throne that was set in heaven, and God was seated upon this throne to judge the world. Who do you think, how do you think that white throne is revealed to this world? That white throne is revealed through the body of what? Of Christ. We are the ones that manifest that light throne, that perfection of God. We are the ones that reveal God to this generation. Praise God. Now, to understand better what these thrones are, Daniel, like I said, Daniel saw thrones that were set. These things are important so that you will know what is happening. At times, you want to look out for signs, physical signs. At times, you want to look out for events. At times, people are waiting for some kind of prophecy to be fulfilled. But you are not going to see anything. Mark my word, you will not see anything. Days will go by, years will go by, you will never see anything manifesting itself physically. The things that pertain to God's kingdom and His coming are discerned what? Spiritually. At the end of days, you only just discover that Christ has appeared, but you were not aware. He came as a thief, but you were not aware. Praise God. He came in the days of old, and they were not aware. The very Christ that they were waiting for, coming from heaven, Jesus was in their midst. They did not know He was there. In likewise manner, He's already there. He's already here, present in you and I. Praise God. And those who can hear, we hear. So you don't need to be bothered. See, we're not mad people. Now, if I preach messages like this, it's not because of anything. It's because of what God has shown me on the other side. I'll be a fool not to testify of what God has shown me on the other side. Praise God, I will not be like Elisha, who was ashamed to declare what God had showed him on what on the other side of the river. And I tell you, God is great. God is majestic. Besides Him, there is none. Hallelujah. He fills all in all. Hallelujah. And His glory is marvelous. All men are being called today to come and behold His glory. Without deviating, let's quickly go back to, let's go to the book of Revelations to see these same thrones that Daniel saw in heaven. These thrones that were set. I'm going to start from Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, what? 1,000 years. This is what people call the millennium. You see here, you see the thrones? These are hundreds of years, hundreds after Daniel saw the same thrones. John the Apostle saw the same thrones again. And he said that those that were beheaded for the what? The testimony of Jesus were given authority. They are the ones that what sit upon that throne. They are the ones that rule with Christ 1,000 years. They rule with Christ in the infinite dimension of God. These are the ones that have obtained victory over the beast. They've rejected the beast. Now the beast, what is the beast? What is the beast? The mark of the beast, the nature of the beast is the flesh. It's your flesh, it's your carnal identity. They have rejected the lie that they are earthly terrestrial beings. They have let go of the earthly to lay hold on the truth, which is the celestial. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. These are the ones that sit upon the throne. These are the ones that have gotten the revelation of Christ in me. They have gotten the revelation of their true spiritual natures, that they are not flesh and blood, they are not male or female, they are not born, hallelujah, they are being from eternity. These ones are the ones that sit upon that throne. They've let go of their mortality, of their human life. They've thrown it into the garbage of history. If you hold on to your life, you will die. Is not written here? If you hold on to a human life, you what? You will die. Anybody that holds on to his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake, you will gain it. Your human life is the beast. It's the natural terrestrial life that does not know God. It's your carnality. Let it go. That's why it says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Your cross means death to self. It's no longer I, but Christ. These are those that have license to sit upon the throne of God, ruling and reigning. Reigning in joy. Reigning in all power. Reigning in glory. These are the thrones that Daniel saw that were set in the book of Daniel's chapter 7, verse 9. And when you sit on those thrones, you are the one that manifests Christ. Do you know Christ is the Ancient of Days? Christ is the Alpha and Omega. Oh, hallelujah. They reign with Christ. They reign with the Ancient of Days. 1,000 years. And you see, when they reign, what happens is that the beast, see, these are thousands of people, thousands of saints, infinite, they are reigning. Paul is still reigning there, day and night, glory in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. John is still there, Jesus is still there, hallelujah. We are in that company, ruling and reigning in Christ. And we are the ones that judge the world. Like I said, judgment starts first of all in us. It's written here that the beast, yeah, that dreaded beast, because if you look in the earlier verses of Daniel chapter 7, there were four beasts that came out of the sea, of the deep. See it? Four different beasts. We cannot go into details in this message, but those four beasts that were summoned out of the deep represent man. Represents the natural man, the carnal man, that who inhabits the abyss. See, but the hour is coming when God is summoning every man out of the abyss. Everybody that is sleeping in the grave, in the dust, sleeping in the abyss of humanity. The abyss, the deep, in the midst of the sea, talks of the dimension where there is no light at all, no knowledge of God. It's an ever-sinking realm of death and hell, where your sorrows and your problems are continually what? Multiplied. You're continuously seeking the abyss. Like I said, there are some areas underneath the sea today where even men have not yet been able to get to with all the sophisticated equipment. Some places people have not been able to get to yet. This is the abyss. You go in there, you see weird creatures, freaks, spooky looking creatures, like skeletons, and you know, this is the nature of the people that inhabit the depths of the sea, where there is no light, it's pure darkness. Praise God. So there, every man is being summoned today as they begin to see Christ manifest in you, and they begin to hear the voice of truth, they are being summoned before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I tell you the truth. The only way a child of God can sit down on that throne and rule and reign is by putting on what the Bible calls a single eye. So the beast that comes out of the sea, which we talk of carnality, the Bible says it was what? Destroyed. It was killed, and its body was what? Destroyed. This is the body of sin. It's the nature of sin. The flesh. Everything that is contrary to God. The formulation of human, our man, our state as men in lies. All that is dissolved as we put on the single eye. Like I said, it is dissolved first of all in what? In us. If we have a single eye and we are seated in judgment, like we saw in Proverbs chapter 20 verse 8, every element of the flesh is what? Is dissolved. A king that seated in the throne of judgment scattered away all evil with the eyes. Praise God. All evil with the eyes. Anything that is not revealing the Ancient of Days, anything that is not revealing the Christ, anything that is not revealing the Father God, anything that is not revealing God's kingdom, it's a lie. The eyes of understanding must begin to be opened to recognize God's presence in all creation. This is something we must exercise ourselves to become, to do it. Amen. Sometimes even people who know truth become religious without even knowing it. People who know truth get to a point where they begin to feel like everybody must speak like them, everybody must look like them, must pray like them, must meditate like them, must preach like them. At the end of the day, they don't know that they are forming idols out of their own selves without even knowing. We must see what God and God alone in the creation. So it's written that in Babylon, in the twinkle of an eye, in the twinkle of an eye, the dead shall be what? Raised up. At the sounding of the trumpet, the twinkle of an eye, the dead shall be raised up. The eyes has to be opened. This is actually very, very important. Eh? If you want to enter into God's kingdom, into the place of peace, if you want to have the victory over the beast, the Bible speaks about the victory over the beast. There were harpers in the book of Revelation singing a new song, the song of Moses. Singing joyously. The Bible says that these ones have obtained victory over the beast and over the name of the beast. When Moses delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, the reality that is symbolic of deliverance from the beast, deliverance from the nature of the flesh, deliverance from the world, the corruption that is in this world, everything that has entangled us emotionally. See, some people are entangled with the lies of their family, the illusion of their family. They are entangled with problems here and there. See, but he has come to give us the truth, and the truth what? Will set you free. The truth will dissolve the realm of the beast, will slay that beast. And you can only do this by sitting and ruling with Christ single-mindedly. This is the only way we can disperse the evil, first of all in us. Evil is anything that denies Christ. And evil is anything that denies what, you know, the indwelling presence of God in you. Anything that tries to obscure your glorious self is of the devil. And all these things must be dissolved with the single eye of him that sits upon the throne. Praise God. So it starts off with you. Like we've said, Peter says the judgment of God starts off first of all in us. Faith. Casting down all those high imaginations. Casting down everything that does not reveal Christ. That does not reveal the eternal spirit. Anything that does not reveal God's kingdom, which is already present. You know, we share here, with over the years, we've seen all kind of events, all kind of miracles. We've seen all kind of movements in the spirit, visions, many things that we have seen. There's the ever-present kingdom of God. It never leaves us. We are always there. But the eyes must be open. The eyes of man must be open to disperse all the lies that have obscured the reality of his perfection. Hallelujah. If the eyes are open, you begin to see the Father seated upon the throne, the glory of God and God alone. In the book of Revelation, when John saw the throne of God, he saw around the throne of God angels, tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. When you see these things, thousands of thousands, tens of thousands, it talks about an infinite number of saints. Praise God. Infinite, innumerable. They were what gathered around the throne of God, what doing what? And serving the Lord. Praise God. All of them saying with a loud voice, "What is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing?" Amen. They all focused. The focus was what? On him that seated upon the throne. They were round about him. And all they see is the one that is seated upon the throne. See, and when you are focused on the Lord, it means that you are not even aware of your own body. You don't even have a body of your own. You know why we fight amongst ourselves as brethren? Do you know why people fight over doctrines? Do you know why people fight over supremacy? Do you know why people fight to be heard? It's simply because they are not beholding the one that sits upon the throne. If you are, your eyes are open to and focused on him that sits upon the throne, there will be no occasion for the flesh. See, among those angels, Paul is there, John is there, you are there, Jesus is there. It's a universal gathering of all the redeemed standing before the throne of God and worshiping God. And they see only God. They see only that name and worship that name. When Jesus Christ prayed in the days of old, his prayer was that, "Father, I pray that you will cause them to be gathered to behold my glory." Is that what it says? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 17, verse 22. I'll just start from verse 22. "And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me," or "has loved them as thou hast loved me. Further, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the prayer of Jesus is that they may what? Be where I am and behold my what? My glory. The glory which thou hast given me. that they may what behold my glory. See, if we are occupied, we occupy ourselves in just beholding the glory of God. If we occupy ourselves with just beholding the glory of God, that's all. That is what will give us the satisfaction and the peace that we need forever. So we don't have to be known by men. See, do you have to be known by dead people? You don't have to be known by men. You don't have to be seen by men. You don't have to be struggle to be called what they call one of the great men of God and all this kind of stuff. God honors his servants. You don't need to seek honor for yourself. Because it's very, very important. At times when you've labored for years, you know, at times people get impatient. Get impatient. And they go out and try to devise something for themselves. But wait on the Lord, and the Lord is the one that will honor you. Hallelujah. I remember when I was in Africa many years ago, a pastor from America, I received his tapes. His name is Hallow White. I received his messages while on the campus as a student. And the messages went a long way to lifting me up. He lifted me up and showed me the deep secrets of God. Now, I was at his ministry, I was at his church, or his a gathering, a conference by this same minister some months back in the year 2011. This is over 20 years after I first heard his messages. And he never knew that I existed. He never knew that somebody like me had that impact. Somebody had been impacted so much with his messages in one corner of Africa. And when I appeared there, he was filled with joy. Hallelujah. This is the honor with which God honors his saints, those who wait upon him. Praise God. All we need to do is just to serve and behold the glory of what? Of God. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will provide for you. Hallelujah. The one that keepeth you does not sleep. He does not slumber. He's there by your right hand day and night to prosper you and to cause you to, you know, to succeed in everything that you do, in all your endeavors. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That they may what? Behold my glory. The prayer of the psalmist is that what? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. To behold your beauty, your glory. See, and to inquire in your temple day and night. That is all. Let the eyes be single. Let our focus be on that eternal presence, the one that sits upon the throne. Praise God. As we do this thing, every trace of evil, every trace of darkness, every trace of the beast is dispersed in our lives and in the lives of others that we come in contact with, because we become an influence, a light to the world. Oh, praise God. Of course, it's along the way there are challenges, but Jesus Christ even is aware of this. Didn't he pass through the challenges that we passed through? Praise God. Didn't he pass through the challenges? He did pass through that, but we have to be continuously prayerful. Continuously alert. Continue in the word day and night. Continue in the confession. Now Jesus Christ says, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now why did he say continue? Because there is the temptation not to continue. There is a temptation to just let go. But continue in the word. Look ahead of you and see the great joy that is set before you. The glory that is set before you. And continue in the word. The word is working. It is working. Hallelujah. It is working. These were the words of Hallow White when I met him in Chicago. When you go to meet ministers like that, or friends like that, you don't see a whole arena with thousands of people in their congregation. You see a handful, 150, 200. Praise God. And the words of Hallow White was, the message is what is working. It is working. The word of God can never fail. It works. Hallelujah. So let us continue in the exercising ourselves in the things we hear. Let the eyes of our understanding be focused on him that sits upon the throne. See, this is the single eye. Praise God. As the trumpet sounds, the eye is open and you begin to behold the glory of God. See it. And you begin to be lifted up out of the miry clay. You begin to rediscover yourself standing in the place where Jesus Christ says, where I am. It's the pinnacle of Zion, the place of all power, the place of all consolation, the place of all glory. Everything you ever need is there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need a bank account to be prosperous in this world. You don't need properties in every angle of the world to be prosperous in God. What you need is to stand in the place where I am. In the place of the I am. Praise God. Then everything will come to you. Good will come to you. Everything you ever need will come to you. Hallelujah. Stand right now where we are by the Spirit and let the Spirit begin to minister. Put on a single eye. See it. As you walk around, enter into fellowship with the Father. Begin to meditate with the Father. Let the Father begin to show you things. Hallelujah. You begin to discover that even the very things that you see around you, everything declares His glory. His glory is everywhere. Hallelujah. The trees declare His glory. Everything around declares His glory. The bodies in the sky. Hallelujah. Even the things you see in your work, in the computers. Everything declares the glory of God. Be focused. Hallelujah. Be focused. Put in on the single eye. Sit. Wash your eyes and behold Him that sits upon the throne. Father, we bless your name today. We exalt you, who is like unto you, who is like unto that majestic name that is there from age to age. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That they may be where I am and behold your glory. That they may behold the glory of Him that sits upon the throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A king that seated in judgment scattered evil with the eyes. He dissolves the realm of lies. He destroys the nature of sin, the body of sin. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The psalmist will pray, hide my eyes from what? From vanity. It had my eyes from lies, caused me to see truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord showed you something, didn't he? Can you?
Yes, praise the Lord. As we were concluding the prayer, the Lord showed me the sun. From the sun comes out the rays from the above to the bottom.
Yes, rays of sun.
That was what the Lord showed me. Praise the Lord.
Okay, what about the front?
During the worshipping, I saw the throne. The throne, you know, was just placed and with a cushion dressed and just was just seated.
Okay.
And waiting. That was what.
So you saw a throne with a cushion on it. A vacant throne, you know, as if the Lord is saying, that's your throne, that's for you. So you can sit down and reign with Christ. Every man out there has his own throne waiting for him. So you have to ascend the throne and sit and rule and reign with Christ. She also saw the rays of the sun, said, radiating from the heavens. So which speaks about the glory and the revelation knowledge of the invisible God of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are admonished to see those rays that, you know, emanate from the spirit realm, revealing the eternal presence of God. With the eyes of the spirit, we are supposed to be focused on those light rays from heaven. Hallelujah. And to live by those light rays. We no more walk by the understanding of the natural mind. We no more see things according to the natural mind, but rather we see things according to the spiritual mind. Praise, hallelujah. We begin to see things into God, in God's world. Hallelujah. The rays of the sun represents the radiation of the glory of God. See, revealing the invisible things of God. Thank you, God, for these revelations. Thank you, God, for this message. Let this thing form lives in those who hear these messages. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the privilege. For you have granted us access to the throne to rule and to reign with your Christ forever. Blessed be your name. Thank you, O God. Be exalted in our lives. Amen. Amen.